He'd had a vivid dream the night before that still gave him a cold chill at his nape. It had been prompted, Doc imagined, by the rehearsals they'd had during the sixth day away from Vistaville. Despite his illness, Baron Seidler had granted them permission to work out their moves on the actual stage where they'd do the show, and to Ryan's relief, had arranged for the rear exit in the alley out back to be cleared out. To Capistrano's relief, the Baron had also agreed to pay a portion of their fee in advance. But performing on the stage had enveloped Doc in a rash of pure terror, and the dream crystallized that fear. In the dream, he'd been waiting in the wings, ready to appear in his first ever play, which had been nothing like The Revenge. It was a restoration comedy, brimming with elegant gallants and mannered fops. Doc knew that he had only a single line to say, but it was vital to the plot. Wearing a tall wig and frocked coat, he had to stride into the middle of some sort of party and declare,
"But, my lord, that syphilitic son of a sea cook was actually the Bishop of Bath and Bonham."
His moment was coming closer. Around the fringe dusty curtain, he could glimpse the rows of pale, eager faces in the audience. His cue was one of the court ladies, striking a lace-festooned macaroni on the wrist, saying,
"La, my lord Wackham, but this wogue sounds a rather wicked wascal."
Here it came. In his dream-turned-nightmare, Doc took a shallow breath and walked onto the raked boards, blinded for a moment by the bright floods. The cast and audience waited in a moment of frozen stasis. Doc smiled vaguely, his eyes searching the actors around him, and then walked straight off the other side of the stage, his line undelivered. And then he'd awakened, sweating. Ellie had persuaded him to lie down quietly in her own room, pulling off his cracked knee boots herself and bringing him a moistened cloth to lay across his troubled brow. She'd gone to the trouble of finding her way down into the steaming, noisome kitchen of the Snow Palace, managing to locate some relatively fresh eggs and French poaching them for him. She laid them out on slices of crisp buttered toast and brewed a pot of good coffee.
"And I found this hidden away on the top shelf of one of the closets."
She delved beneath her loose maroon cloak and triumphantly pulled out a dark green bottle.
"What is it, my dear?"
"Brandy. Real old, too. Not stuff they brewed up this morning among the junipers on the hillside. I got a couple of glasses as well. Want to try a drink of it? Lift your spirits."
"Indeed. That would be most gratifying, Ellie. Thank you for your trouble."
"We thesps must stick together, Doc."
"Thesps? Oh, yes, thespians, members of the acting profession."
"Now tuck into those eggs. There's a good Theo. Keep your strength up."
"For the performance."
She smiled at him, pouring out a tumbler of the aromatic liqueur.
"Need to keep all parts of your performance up, Theo. No good going soft when you need to be hard, is it?"
Doc looked at her, puzzled. But the brandy was delicious, warming him, easing the tension away from his shoulders, and relaxing the tightness that gripped his stomach like an overlaced corset. The eggs were perfect, the whites firm and the yolks runny. Ellie had sat at the foot of the bed, watching him, sipping at her own glass.
"Good?"
"Better than good, my dear. Were it not tautological, I would list all the words I could think of to describe the goodness."
Ellie laid down her glass and stood, moving to the head of the bed at his side.
"Lean forward a little, Theo."
"Why?"
"So I can give you a little massage while you eat your supper."
"Ah, yes. How pleasant."
"Take off your jacket and shirt."
"May I finish my eggs first?"
"Sure."
Her hands were on his shoulders, pressing gently at the muscles and neck.
"My. But you're like you're made from pieces of spun crystal, Theo."
"I confess that I am a tad nervous about our performance, Ellie. Those were magical, my dear."
"Now, off with your clothes."
"Just down to my shirt, perhaps."
She walked over to the door and turned the key in the lock.
"There. Now we won't be disturbed. Sorry, I didn't catch your question, Theo."
To Doc's immense surprise, there suddenly seemed to be a shortage of oxygen in the bedroom. He was conscious of the smell of his own body, unwashed for too long, of the light scent of the perfumed water that Ellie used, of her frilly underclothes, draped neatly over the back of one of the chairs. and he was stricken with a heart-stopping fear at the realization that he was going to make love with this pretty, frail woman.
I don't know whether I should be able to...
But Ellie wasn't listening. She was busying herself with unlacing her boots, padding to the window to make sure the faded draperies were safely drawn. Doc started to undress himself, suddenly eager to be naked and under the sheets before she turned around and saw his lined, sagging body. But to his surprise and delight, he discovered that not every part of him was sagging. The room was lit by an oil lamp, and Ellie reached over and turned down the wick, using a milled brass wheel. She had taken off everything except her bra and a pair of pink cotton panties. Just before the light dimmed, Doc noticed how thin the woman was, and there seemed to be small dark patches on her skin, purplish in color, near her elbow and above her left breast. One planted beneath the prominent ribs, but they were significant. She bounced into bed, her feet touching Doc's thigh.
By the three Kennedys, you're damnably cold, ma'am.
Sorry, Theo. Guess you'll have to do some warming up.
The pleasure will be mine.
He prayed silently that God would allow him to sustain one of the best erections he'd had in years, what he and his drinking companions at college used to refer to as a regular diamond cutter.
And you will preserve me from all my wicked enemies?
Doc was thrown by that.
I fear that I didn't...
Why... The plague, Theo.
Oh, of course.
She'd been quoting a line from the middle of The Revenge, when Doc's character had just offered his help to her after Diego's character had been to her little cottage to threaten her.
And you will preserve me from all my wicked enemies?
Upon my honor, I will.
That's real good.
Her cool fingers tracked across his chest and down.
Oh, Theo. Oh, and that's even better.
In the darkness of the quiet room, Doc Tanner smiled to himself. A memory flash brought back a momentary vision to Doc of the girl called Lori, statuesquely tall and as blonde as Kansas wheat. Tight blouse, torn in red satin, her silver buckled belt, an abbreviated maroon suede skirt, the teetering heels on her crimson boots, glittering spurs with tiny tinkling bells. Lori, her face melting as she fell screaming into the blazing flames, her hands out, clawing toward him in supplication as he watched helpless. Her hair flaring about her blistered skull, the smoke billowing and closing her off from him forever. Ellie felt the change in him and stopped moving, reaching around behind and touching him.
Want to rest a moment?
No, I'll be fine. I just sort of lost it for a moment there. Keep still, and then it'll come right on back.
Her buttocks were pressed into his lap, bringing a warm and happy memory of making love with his long-lost wife, Emily. Doc clutched her tight as he came, his head thrown back, his tendons straining in his throat. He clapped his own hand over his mouth to muffle his cry. Ellie pushed harder against him, moving her hips faster, until she reached her own climax moments later.
If you cannot help me, sir, then I am lost, and needs must give in to his wishes, satisfy his lusts, and let him fuck me.
No.
But what can you do for me? It is not my wish to do this thing, and lose my heart and my hope. It is my poverty and not my will consents.
I will help you.
Will you do anything?
Anything.
He felt her hands pushing him, pressing his head down from her neck, across her breasts, where he nuzzled at her hardened nipples. But now Ellie's fingers were locked into his mane of white hair, forcing him much lower.
Well, you did say you'd do anything, Theo.
The pleasure is all mine.
No, most of it's going to be mine. Then we can see about both having some fun again.
Three times?
Get to it, Theo.
Now he was way down the bed, one scrawny leg hanging out in the cold. Ellie's thighs were on either side of his head, and he could taste her body, salt on his tongue. He was going to try to remember another line from the play to amuse her, but he recalled his own mother always insisting, it was terribly bad manners to speak with your mouth full. Doc woke in Ellie's bed, feeling tired, finding that his chest and shoulders were a mass of bites and scratches. Apart from that, he felt better than he had in many long months. Maybe years.